Hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill and Top Bits of Chicken at Black Rooster. Shacks all around Glasgow, I'm told. Simon was there the other day. Big week as well for William Hill, Cheltenham too. Simon.
Oh, fuck, brilliant. Can't wait for it. I'm going to sit in front of the telly today, feet up, we cut a cups of coffee and watch the racing.
Okay, right, what have we got today? We've got a super show. We've got Kevin Kyle with us and our own Simon Ferry. We're going to look at, unfortunately, but we're going to speak about it, more fan trouble. It's gone to new levels again at the weekend. Three incidents all around the UK, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll look at Alfredo Morelos signing a new deal with Rangers. Alan McGregor's decision to quit the Scotland national team. Marvin Komper, has he got a future at Celtic? Neil Lennon has hinted that he's been doing well. And finally, we'll touch on great returns that Zinedine Zidane goes back to Real Madrid, to the Bernabeu. We'll touch on some of the ones around the world that have been good for people going back and some of the ones that have ended up in disaster and they have regretted it. So stay with us for the next 45, 50 minutes. I'm Mark Guidi. We're going to get cracking and we're going to start at Easter Road once again. Si, we were speaking about it last week. This week, it's
worse.
Yeah.
Clowns.
It probably is, yeah.
Absolute clown. Do you know what? I cannot believe that Tavernier did the banjo, man. See, if it was, see, players, you should start just banjoing them. Should have punched them at his trainers, as they say in Berlin. But, what are these guys thinking? But Tavernier's a big boy as well. See, if he banjoed that guy, they probably knocked him out. And that's what they need. But I see now that they're doing jail sentences, aren't they, down south?
Yeah.
With the Grealish one in that.
14 weeks.
Which is brilliant. Get them in the jail,
name them, shame them.
Definitely.
Humiliate them. 14 weeks is not long enough. Let's be realistic.
He'll be out in 7.
You've been in the jail longer than that, haven't you?
It's a 7-week holiday for that guy. I've been in the jail longer. Are you joking me? 2 weeks.
I think the fella from
Birmingham
hooked Jack Grealish at the Birmingham at the Midlands Derby on Sunday. He's a father of one, another child on the way. He's 27 year old and he's at the game with his dad.
Nugget.
Seriously.
What is, like, for me as a father, and like I'd be embarrassed. What they want to do is want to take all that footage and show that to his kids,
yeah,
and say that's who your dad is. Because that would be the ultimate like embarrassment for me as a dad.
Yeah, humiliation.
Humiliation. It's absolutely shocking. And that video alone will be like in years to come. They'll show that, and it'll be continually showed. This is what happened back in 2019. It's an absolute travesty that that can happen at a football match in this day and age. Nobody should go to the work fearing they're going to get hurt.
See, on that point that Kevin makes here in terms of that notoriety that this fella's going to get, mm-hmm. Si, but do you think that maybe that'll actually, the guy will be happy with that in a perverse sort of way?
Do you know what? I was laughing because he'd have been sitting in that jail van with the radio on and Grealish scored the winner, didn't he? He'd have been absolutely fuming. But they probably do. These guys, I seen that he's not got a job and stuff like that. He'll probably be buzzing that he's been in the paper and that he's big news. But I'm so happy that they're starting to get the jail.
Some hook though. I mean, seriously, all kidding aside, when you look at that, seriously,
it was like a big windmill.
Was Kevin Kyle on Solbamba, wasn't it?
No, a big soul with a fell like a date I cared to. But, so on Big Soul, got to wish the big man a happy a cruciate ligament.
Oh,
so hopefully he gets a speedy recovery. A tough one to take, but like I say, if anything, that guy took a wee bit of heat off a Scottish football for the weekend because obviously what happened on Friday night was shocking, and obviously Hibs. I'm going to hear my own take on this.
Yes, can't wait for it.
Whether they like it or don't like it. I played in the Hibs derby with Hearts up there, and with 5 minutes to go many years ago, pelted, and I mean pelted with coins, everything out of the park, and I actually walked away from that corner where that incident occurred, and the same where the bottle was. So that corner's notorious, there's history there. Mm-hmm. So Leanne Dempster can come out and start ranting and raving about this, that, and strict liability and everything else. She wants to just sort that corner out first. Give people a chance up in there, because ultimately a derby is a heated thing, but that wasn't a derby on Friday. That was just Hibs versus Rangers.
It's back-to-back games.
And it's back-to-back. And I remember that time, the ball went out for a throw-in. We were winning 2-0, and Rudy Scatchell went to get the throw-in. And obviously Rudy's not exactly the most loved by Hibs fans up there. So coins were coming, bottles were coming, cigarette lighters, absolutely everything. And I actually walked away a wee bit because I thought, this could actually hurt you here, this. And I just, like, nothing ever got done about it because nobody reported it. But if you were to get footage of that game at that moment, because it was live in Sky, you'll see it's obvious. So Hibs need to sort that problem. If that's where their so-called Neddy supporters hang out, because that's what they are. Because your average, respectable human being Disney involve himself in that type of situation. So for me, Hibs need to sort that out.
You wonder what he says to his dad 2 minutes before he's at the Birmingham. But what do you think he says to his dad before?
Hold my phone.
On the phone.
Dad, get this on the phone, Dad. This will be class.
getting back to Friday night side, and Kevin's, yeah, what Kevin says there is quite right. But also as well, I thought it was good.
She came it.
Of Liam Denson, because a lot of chief execs, owners, directors, whatever you want to call them, will hide. They won't actually confront an issue, or they send out a bland statement that's not got a name on it, that just ticks boxes and isn't telling us anything. I thought it was good of her to come out and confront it, and to be fair to her, she didn't mince her words.
No, she went right through the guy, which is good. If you hear it for the person at the top of the tree, then you know the fans need to take note. I think if they know they're going to get jailed now and they're going to get banned for life, then it's a great thing. And fair play to her, as you say, coming out and saying it, because she could have hid behind a wee statement and that. But the big
What happens with, like, the guy at Birmingham gets done for assault, and yet the guy up here has obviously thrown a punch at Tavener, and he gets done for breach of the peace?
He's been let out.
He's been charged with breach of the peace. So what's the difference? How they're not deemed the same?
Well, that's the law, and that's down
to interpretation.
Do you know what's even more mad? See if you hit him back, you get sent off. You know
that's what happened to me years ago.
What is it?
The guy hit me, I hit him back, I got done.
Did you? What, on the pitch?
No, on the pitch, obviously. That wouldn't happen on the park. Nobody's brave enough to confront me on the pitch. Seen the size of me? But no, seriously, it's just. I think, obviously, Ann Dempster's been great coming out and saying what she said, but it's just words. Let's see how those words are being backed up in weeks to come. Because
it's now up to her. Supporters of Hibernian Football Club to behave properly, because it's, I think,
difficult.
You're right, the next bit's coming is they will just identify that section and close a third of that stand or half that stand.
It's so very,
they're the last warning, aren't they?
It's very, very difficult to have a resolution to all of this up and down the country at any level of football, because ultimately individuals will just turn up, and if they want to really, really do something stupid on a match day, they will find a way of doing it. You can't police thousands of people in one go.
See, if somebody did come on the pitch and go for you, what would
that's
you,
what I can understand is why.
What would you do?
When they grabbed the boy that came on at the Aston Villa game, why none of the players fired back into him? Because that would have been my first thought. I'd have been like, protect my teammate.
Was there not a goalie that ragged all the fun?
And
the Ian Walker or something? Remember at Leicester? I'm sure he.
Hey, by the way, he was a model.
He's bad. That was decent, wasn't it?
Imagine the fan running and Big Dunk confronted Big Dunk. It's absolutely incredible, because we're taking away from what was actually a really good game.
Right, we'll get to the game in a minute. So let's take it forward. Let's put yourselves in positions of authority, and within the realistic boundaries, Si, Kev, what would you do? What would be your first step to actually prevent, as best you can, anything untoward happening in the Scottish game again?
I seen that was at David Cottrell there. It said that he was going to bring in guns. It's terrible to see that he's back on the drink, but
That's what they're talking about.
I've never
seen him getting tasered.
Like the Caribbean Yeti in Italy,
how
the rubber bullets.
Just put
one in his nut. Somebody runs on the pitch, stick one in his nut. Could you do?
Realistically, what would within boundaries, but getting a strong message. Let's not go points deduction.
No, it needs to be the jail, doesn't it? A good jail sentence, I think. You check yourself, even though you were getting the jail. You know you were getting the jail. There's no way you'd run on the pitch, I don't think. A good sentence, like a 3 months in jail.
Guaranteed,
that's it.
That's it.
Is there any kind of, like, this has got to sound ridiculous probably, but take the piss out of me if you want, but see these nets they have that they put up behind the goals for when they're doing their shooting practice and that, and the ball stops it. Is there any of these nets that can be designed that are that thin, but you know that as a protection that they can put down the stand? Do you know what I mean? So the fans can still see the pitch, but it stops anybody getting on. And if you're chucking large objects, they're not going to go through these kind of Nesh Mets. Do you know what I mean?
Nesh Mets.
Can we introduce something like you're going to the airport with scanners in terms of coins, bottles,
lighters?
And because we're now in a day and age now, a lot of people don't carry money. If you're going for a pint of Bovril, it's contactless or whatever. So if you're talking about coins are a problem, lighters are a problem, bottles are a problem. If you know now, it's like the rules of an airport. You ain't getting that, and if you do, it's confiscated. Is that not a decent starting point?
That's where we need you right now. Invest in lockers. and get them up and down the country in the stadium. So when this comes in, we've got the lockers to put their valuables in.
Right, let's delay putting this podcast out for a month to go and get.
So, but when you think that, right, it means that you're going to have to turn up earlier. But you know, if we are serious about it, could take somebody's eye out. Scott Sinclair could have been hit with the back of the head, but I mean, we have had a linesman this season at a Livy Rangers game needing stitches, I think.
Problem is, it's when these groups of fans who congress in one wee area, they're all wee idiots, they're all like fools and they've got no brains. So when one of their mates throws a bottle or a coin, you all think it's cool, so they kind of self-police each other, whereas if you're in the family section, that doesn't happen. Yeah. So what you're needing is maybe some, I don't know, maybe throwing a couple of undercover police officers, plainclothes police officers, and trying, and then me and Slaney, I sort them out, and then in terms of stewarding, maybe have to spend more money and get some more policing in. Policing maybe that have tasers. So if somebody's looking, like, just give them a wee jab and they'll soon
I would love
call.
That, a taser.
You know, a big water cannon.
Well trained. Well, look at the doing the World Cup. When was it the World Cup or the European Championship when England were causing the trouble?
Yeah.
And the crew with the water cannon.
Yeah.
I've been soaked with a power hose, man. That's sore. Never mind a water cannon. that's a funny story, right? Out the street one night, kids are having a water fight, so I thought, oh, brilliant, man, big street water fight, so the water balloons, I'd everything loaded up as if it was like World War III, and I thought, right, I've got a new power wash, I'll get the power wash out, right, so I got the power wash out, so I'm standing there like Rambo with a big gun, right.
What have you got on? What have you got on here?
Just shorts, ripped body out a lot, right, bandana on, tattoo, fake blood, and I'm standing there with the water gun, right, so the kids are running past me thinking, oh, big Kev's going to soak us, right. So as I've turned the water gun on and shot the wee kids, they were like, ah! I was like, what's wrong? And then, I was really sore, Dad. So my wee veins are greeting that. I said, it's not sore, it's only a water gun. So I said, you shoot me. Oh my God, man. I nearly took the skin off the veins. So that was it. So I'm now banned for street water fights.
Right. Lucky you're not banned.
Aye, well.
A lot more. Right. So have we got a plan? Anything we can do? I just, in a serious note, look, we just hope that it's for Scottish football, because we've had, off the top of my head, Bobby Samal punch Neil Lennon, hit with a coin, or Freddy Morelos hit with a coin, Gary Caldwell hit with a coin, Scott Sinclair almost hit with a bottle, James Tavernier attacked. Mm-hmm. That's just off the top of my head.
And I think I've seen people saying stuff about stewards. Stewards get, what, £7 an hour? Mm. See, if I'm a steward,
it's not a job with a
steward. No, is it?
No,
it's not. I feel sorry for him, and you kind of stop stuff like that. But I think what he said and what you said, maybe the detectors and then a wee bit of undercover police could sort it.
Right, well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully this time next week when we're back on the Open Goal podcast, we're not speaking about this again, but I have a feeling that there's and one thing that I do though that happens, Si, Kev, is that I hope that this is addressed, and it's not like, if everything's okay for a couple of weeks, this is forgotten about. Because trust me, see if Celtic won 8 in a row and we're going into a 9 in a row season next year for Celtic and Rangers, and they're trying to stop it and all the thing, the west of Scotland will be a madhouse.
Mental, huh?
And we need to put things in place just now to prevent, you know, be proactive. Don't be reactive. Don't wait till next season or the season after. Do it now. The footballing authorities, and even if it's the government as well, to bring in legislation right away. So as you said, Si, there's a set punishment for doing anything, that you're right into jail. Mm-hmm. No questions asked. We need to put things in place now, because I've a feeling the next 12 to 24 months is going to be mental.
More CCTV footage within grounds.
Absolutely,
that's what I kind of get as well.
It's like, if something really happens bad in the criminal, say the city centre, there's a CCTV everywhere that can maybe trace something that helps solve a case. Should be the same here on football grounds. That should be a legislation that puts in that, more so if something does happen, cameras have been recording a certain area for 90 minutes, that somebody should be able to watch that back and identify how that's been. And then if people know that, it's like, it could play as a deterrent for people not to throw things.
Do you know what gets me, Kev, exactly on that point? As you mentioned, that's clearly got history, that corner of the ground at Easter Road. So when 6 days earlier Scott Sinclair's nearly hit with a bottle and coins from that area, you would think for the visit of Rangers last Friday night that there are CCTV zoomed right in there. As you say, there's undercover police put in or whatever, but I think Hibs, you know, as much as Leanne Dempster's come out, and it's great of her, again, they've been reactive, no proactive. There should have been people zoomed in that area of ground. Anyway, we'll get back onto that later in the season. Let's get to the football. Alfredo Morelos has signed a new deal.
Kev's mate, big Kev's
2023, he's signed until
I take it from the outside looking in, fantastic business for the boy. He'll get a good bump up in his wages, and deservedly so. And for Rangers, I'd imagine they're fattening up the transfer fee care for any potential moves. For
go on the donkey, as they were calling you. The donkey they were calling you.
You're joking. Obviously, the Rangers fans are a wee bit upset last week. I hope they're okay this week.
To be fair, they had that. But what did you value him at? 5 million or
something? 2 million, he said.
2 million, but that's what Match Attack said. Wee man produced a Match Attack card out of nowhere. Alfredo Morelos, 67 pace, 85, whatever it was, £2 million. So I'm only going by what the wee man said. No, at the end of the day, like I said last week, I don't actually value him at anything. I just said he'll only be worth what somebody is willing to pay. And I wouldn't pay £9 million for him. That was only my opinion. So obviously the Rangers fans can...
what would you pay for him?
I don't actually know, because until, for me, he's played in Finland and now he's played in the Scottish Premier League. That's it. There's no international... goals or anything.
He's just got into the club, I saw he's just great for him.
Because obviously that'll enhance his value and reputation. If he starts going and doing it in the international scene, then massively the big figures will start coming if he starts producing it there. But ultimately, for me as a footballer, I understand that prices are inflated nowadays. Like I think you just look at the boy that plays with Celtic, Oliver Burks, went for £2 million moves. So whether that's right or wrong, it's what somebody opted to pay for him. So for me, Morelos,
he scored goals in Europe, Kev. He scored in the Europa League.
He did. Aye. So
which again.
So when you start scoring goals in the Champions League and internationally, then command your figure. Do you know what I mean? So for me, I'm only going. That's just my opinion.
I think in his talent alone, side, he's now for me. He's really grown in me. This season, as a footballer, we'll speak about his discipline and stuff in a minute. But as a footballer, he's grown on me.
Oh, he's a good top player,
You can just see defenders
scared
almost
to play against
in their boots. I thought that with McKenna and Constantine, they look nervous every time Morelos got the ball because they know we can do. For me, he's an absolute minimum down payment, guaranteed minimum £12 million.
Yeah.
And
what? How many has he scored, Mark? 27?
28, I think he's on.
If he gets 30 goals, you're worth 50, for me £12 million.
28. I think if you're a buying club, to try and keep the price down, because that's what they're all about, you factor in his disciplinary record, because there's no doubt he comes with a bit of baggage. But when you're add-on and something like that and a sell-on fee again, then I could see it rising towards the £20 million mark as a package for him.
Yeah, I think I think anywhere he goes, he'll score goals now.
Yep.
You know, I didn't see him when he first came here. I thought he missed quite a lot of chances, whereas now
he's only what, 22 as
22
well. 22
as well, and I think when you play with better players, you'll get better service, and I think he'll score goals. As I've said before, Dembele's ripping it up in France.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't matter the level you're playing at. If you can score goals, you can score goals. I've played against guys in League One who people said, "Oh, can he do it in the Premiership?" And they go and do it because they're goal scorers, and that's it. Doesn't matter who you're, when the ball bounces and you stick it in the net, then you're
it's
worth
his,
money.
It's his physique that's helped to me. Yeah. That's what's helped him. He's very, very strong. The biggest thing for Morelos going for, he's only 22. Is it 22?
22, yeah.
He's got years and years ahead of him. So if he matures well, for 1 minute, I don't ever think he's not a good player. Certainly believe that he is. And he's got massive potential, but I'm only going by what it's potential.
Of course.
So there's always a gamble with somebody who's been sent off 4 or 5 times this season. He's got a wee bit of a nastiness, a wee bit of an attitude about him, but that sometimes can work in your favour. Do you know what I mean? So I hope that he goes for 12, 15, 20 million, because it'd be great for Rangers, it'd be great for our game, because that's what the kind of players that we're producing and playing with. But at this minute in time, for me, who knows?
Yeah,
it's just a case of just waiting to see who comes in and who pays that money.
The only thing for me would be if he goes to a team is, he plays up front for Rangers on his own, he's the main man. If he goes to another team where he actually needs to link up with players, I don't think that's a great part of his game. Well, but as you say, he's 22.
You're right, though.
He could get
that,
better
that
at that.
He needs to be coached in that.
Yeah,
if he goes to another team and he's not the main man and he doesn't play straight away, does he then be the Morelos that we see taking the off and taking the other side of things? And then, I know, but it'd be soften the blow for him, but personally,
he'll want to play. He's a kid, but you'll know that. You would imagine if he's bought, let's say, I don't know, if he's a bottom tier Premiership player, so let's say it's a Burnley, or was it Leicester, Brendan Rodgers was like, or a Newcastle, or a Bournemouth, or whatever it may be. If he's in that kind of tier, he's you would imagine he's bought as a squad player initially, until a manager assesses him and see what he's not going to be bought as. You're my number nine. and I expect you to go and get 20 to 22 goals this season in the Premiership. It would be a gradual build up.
Even going to a bottom tier, a so called bottom tier English Premiership team, any striker's going to struggle because they're not creating chances like the Chelsea, the Man U, the Arsenals, the Liverpools are doing. So it's difficult. At the end of the day, this is on Alfredo Morelos' hands.
Yeah,
it's up to him. Because if he just keeps doing what he's doing out here every week, he's picked with Colombia. If he goes away there and scores a couple of goals, whoever it is they're playing and does well, people then start to say, well, wait a minute here. He's now an international goal scoring striker. That's why we had so many English players want to play for Scotland years ago. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as they become an international midfielder, an international striker, they get more wages.
Did you get more transfer?
No, I was always Scottish. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is.
But when you started playing for Betty Scotland,
Fox, you get a weird deduction for getting
Betty Fox.
Betty's
my hero.
Betty paid your house for,
isn't it? Betty's my hero. But anyway, but that's the thing. That's the difference. It's like we did have many an English player who had no interest in Scotland come and play for us because I get a Scotland.
Was that a fact? Did they actually speak openly at that?
No, you just knew. You knew the Scottish.
And did a lot of the boys in the squad share that feeling?
There was, of course. Even to this day, people will still talk about it, that some players, that they come here because they kind of get a game for who they really want to play for. Mm-hmm. So we'll go for the international team that my granny or so-called, because at the end of the day, for me, when it comes to international football, you know which country you've got an allegiance to. Mm-hmm. I've got a wee boy who lives in England, but I brought him up supporting Scottish teams. He's followed my football career and he's Scottish. So if he ever became something international or whatever, his would be Scotland. But ultimately, to me, he's English.
Yeah.
Breaks my heart, but that's just how it is.
Can the boys quickly see through, if I want a better word, a bluffer like that, when you're together? Do you know the hardcore Scottish boys, do they know a bluffer under these circumstances?
I don't know if you'd say you would know a bluffer. You would just know that, like, it means more to somebody born and bred in Scotland and followed Scotland their whole life than it does to somebody who's just been called out, like, out of the blue.
That's what his interviews are, pure cockney after a game.
Lucky tonight, mate. And it's like, whereas when we were 2-0 down at the Faroe Islands at half time, see when Barry Ferguson, who for me was very passionate towards Scotland, and Paul Lambert was incredible. I saw Paul Lambert walk past me all day in the city centre. I was in my car and I was going to put the window down and say, all right, Paul, but I thought I better know just in case he remembers the Faroe Islands.
I just think what the guys
said at half time,
yeah,
that's like Scotland meant everything to them, and it meant everything to us. We were just weren't they playing well,
yeah,
but that's the difference for me.
Get back to 2-2 that day, didn't
we?
Remember the wee boat ride back
over? They two both scored. We got a bus, boat.
Did you score for Scotland?
Scored against Hong Kong, so...
It was a crack. YouTube it.
Was that a good goal, was it?
It wasn't bad. I mean, volleyed down the bottom corner. I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay. See, quickly on that, just we'll finish off on this bit. We'll get back to Rangers. Che Adams, Birmingham City striker, eligible for Scotland.
Good player by the
support, might be hedging his bets to see if he gets an England call. How, if you're Alec McLeish, how long do you give Che Adams to say, listen, are you coming with us or you know?
I've not really saw too much, I can't really comment on Che Adams.
He's scored a lot of goals,
so you just wait your time, because he's not going to oust Harry Kane, the England strikers that they've got, not just now, but the ones coming through. So you just bide your time, and eventually Che Adams, if that's what he wants to do, Scotland will end up having.
But considering that he's not actually, as you're talking about, he's not actually saying,
I don't agree with it, but that's just the rules. Look at Declan Rice. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's your prime example. So although I don't agree with it, I'd like my international team to eventually go to a World Cup or European qualifier so that we can enjoy the summers that other countries get to enjoy. So if that means calling up people who aren't there, die-hard Scottish footballers and got Scotland at their first, then so be it. Bring them, call them in. Let's try and get to an international competition.
Let's get back to just for Rangers, right? If they get a fee, so let's say the ballpark figures that we are talking about, if you're Steven Gerrard and Rangers decide to sell in the summer, I'd imagine Steven Gerrard, you're going to be disappointed at losing your 30 goal a season striker. But on the other hand, if there's five or six guys needed to come in, there's a lot of boys in loan at the club that might go away again in the summer, it's great funds for him to go and reinvest. Is that the way he would see it, or would he rather keep Morelos at all costs?
No, I think he would take the money and put the money in his squad, because I think that they need not just one, but I think they need two or three goal scorers. I watched them, and the wide players didn't score enough goals for me. I know Kinde scored at the weekend, but when you think of the numbers that Forrest and Sinclair get for Celtic for the wide areas, Rangers, for me, if they're going to play with one up front and two wide players, they need guys that can score goals.
But you still need your wide guys to be chipping in when your main man's getting 28?
Yeah, I think so. I think you do, because
when the main man gets injured or suspended or whatever, who then starts scoring the goals?
What happens if he has a dry patch, you know? You need guys who are regularly scoring to win leagues.
Tell me this, Kev, whoa, deep breath there. Si, seriously, Si's had to leave his back as knackered as you might have heard, and apologies for the expletive, but he's taken a bad one. He has had the back problems that he's just heading to get some physio. Peter Head are right in the guts of title races. They need their main man available, as do we, but he's genuinely away. His back just caved in, honest to God. Never known an open goal podcast to finish off a career, but this could be a first live on air.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. I tell you, it's took a lot of pressure off of those players that get injured ridiculously at home. Uh-huh. To get injured at a podcast. Wow. Sitting on your arse.
Do you know what? To be fair to Si, he's been really unselfish because he's given us a lovely lead in. Alan McGregor's retired for international football, right? Because he wants to look after his body, he wants a bit of longevity at club level. What we don't want is for him to happen to
I think the open goal fans will be really, really concerned about this. This could be the death of open goal.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, well, we could always get Slaney in the main hot seat.
We do offer our condolences to Si Mushroom.
If anybody's got any cards of that, he's just heading up to Ward 3 at the Royal Infirmary. Any grapes or Lucasade would be handy.
Aye, a nice plant as well. He loves a nice plant. Kevin, let's get to it. We need to finish off. Alan McGregor, you know him, international teammate. He's retired from the scene. Do you understand why he's calling it a day to
definitely.
His club career?
Definitely. Like, Griggsy's been a fantastic servant for club and country over the years. Any club that he's played for, he's I think most fans would agree how good a goalkeeper he really is. A really, really nice individual, personally.
He's been brilliant this season as well, hasn't he?
And this season,
outstanding.
They always say about goalkeepers, they get better wage, but he's that prime example, because some of the saves that he makes in games, defies belief sometimes. So if Griggsy wants to prolong his career with Rangers going forward, then to give his international days a rest, then I think me as a Scotland fan and as a fan of Alan McGregor in general, I'm okay with that, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people will be, because he has put in good service for his country over the years.
Okay, so let's put yourself in Alec McLeish's shoes. Major problem, Alan McGregor has retired. Craig Gordon, no longer number one at Celtic. So does it leave you with David Marshall, John McLaughlin, and Scott Bain? Alec is picking his squad later on today, so we're no privy to it, but I imagine that'll be the kind of ballpark ones. We've got a massive double header coming up later this month, away to Kazakhstan and away to San Marino, opening games of Euro 2020. Quickly, Kev, who's your Scotland number one?
Scott Bain,
just throw him in.
Aye, I think Scott Bain playing week in, week out for Celtic looks accomplished. I think he's very, very good with his feet, which I think that's maybe one of the main reasons why he got in the Celtic team. Craig Gordon, the thing is, they've still got David Marshall, yeah. Craig Gordon and Scott Bain. Those three alone are top class goalkeepers. So in terms of department of no having any, we've got three more than capable replacements, but it's just who does he pick?
Do you think he'd be tempted, even though he's not Celtic's number one, but he's never let Alec down? Do you think Alec might stand by Craig Gordon?
Well, that could happen. It's happened in the past. A goalkeeper, because goalkeepers, they're not quite the same as outfield players. Mm-hmm. So for me, if he was to pick Craig Gordon ahead of Scott Bain, even though Craig's not been playing, no real arguments really. Craig would turn up and produce the kind of performance that he can do. So it's one of those that it's Alex McLeish's headache, and I'm glad it's his, because I don't think either me or you could pick the problem.
It's a tough one for him.
It is a tough one.
Okay, we're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Delighted to say I'm in the company of Kevin Kyle, former Rangers, Hearts, Kilmarnock, Sunderland and Scotland striker, and a couple more clubs, but we've not got time to add them in. We did have our own Simon Ferry with us, but if you've been listening in, he's had to leave us with an injury. No, seriously, he has. His back has collapsed on him, and he's away to hospital as we speak. We wish Simon a speedy recovery, and hope he's all right for Peterhead's game
at the weekend as they chase a league title. Right, we've got two subjects to go, Kev.
Yep.
Marvin Kompa, has he got a chance of getting back into the Celtic lineup? Neil Lennon has been fulsome in his praise in terms of his attitude and how he's been doing, and kind of hinting that he might have a role to play in the final 8-9 weeks of the season.
I think that with all footballers, when a new manager comes into a team, everybody starts from the beginning again. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what's happened in the past, whether you've been frozen out by one manager or not liked by one manager, when a new manager comes in, that new manager has to assess everybody mm-hmm. for the best of his team. So Marvin Kompers looks like he's maybe going to get a reprieve. So it's now in Marvin Kompers' hands to actually decide his Celtic future. So respect to Neil Lennon for doing that, because it's a kind of, if I was a manager, that's what I would do. I remember
clean slate.
I remember when Mick McCarthy came into Sunderland when we were on the verge of relegation. He came in and the first day he just got every player that was fit, first team squad, and had an 11v11 and just picked his team from the Saturday from the best 11 players that played that day.
Brilliant.
And that's how it was. And I think you've got to do that as
a
manager.
It's a straightforward message.
Of course it is. Everybody's got a chance.
Yeah.
So when he, probably with Neil Lennon, when Brendan Rodgers has left Celtic, Marvin Kompers probably jumping through hoops thinking, right, hopefully get somebody in here that's going to give me a chance. Mm-hmm. I've now, so that's probably why his attitude maybe has changed and he has thrown that. So good luck to the boy. Hopefully he gets an opportunity to prove why Celtic bought him in the first place.
And do you think there's a nice line there as well then for Scott Allen? Because Neil Lennon obviously rates him. He's had him at Hibs and he'd signed him in a pre-contract before Neil parted company with
if the boy Compere's going to get a chance, then why not Scott Allen? Like you say, Neil Lennon took him on loan at Hibs. So, but at the same time, it's very difficult, the Celtic midfielder now, for Scott Allen to maybe slot in there somewhere, because Celtic midfield's performing
They're heavy with quality.
Scott Brown, Nicham, Burnington, so that'd be very difficult. So he's just got to have a very, very good attitude, keep his head down, work hard, and when an opportunity arises, try and grab it.
On the league race, Celtic 0-0 with Aberdeen at the weekend. Rangers drop points as well, the draw at Easter Road, so the gap still remains 8 points with 90 to go. Is there a lifeline for Rangers, Kev? Do you think they're still hanging in there?
Absolutely. I like Stephen Gerrard's comments with the underperformance, the players underperforming in big games at certain times of the season. You can get away with it once or twice, but you kind of get away with it six or seven times, and I totally understand that. So I think that might be Rangers' last chance on Friday night to slip up, because although it's 8 points and it sounds a lot, they've still got to play each other twice. That's 6 points. It's then down to two.
Yeah, they play Celtic on March 31st at Celtic Park. Quite simply, that is a must-win game.
Oh, it's a must-win game. It's if the Rangers team that turns up in the last Old Firm does the same on March 31st, then there's every chance we could have a Rangers victory. But the title race is still alive, definitely. It's just Rangers need to be a bit more consistent with the performance. It's all right winning 2 and 3 games emphatically, but then going and drawing 0-0 with Hibs when they had the better of that first half. They could have put the game to bed in that first half. Obviously, Hibs done well second half, but the game should have been out of sight in the first half.
I think there's over 9 games to go. There's 27 points up for grabs. I'd imagine they're going to need an absolute minimum 25 points to win.
Oh, definitely. If they get 25 points, well,
they might need the 27.
They might need 27, aye. But if they were to get 25, then you're obviously relying. It's a bit like the English title race. Liverpool's now hoping that Man City slip up. Rangers are now hoping the same. Unfortunately, Saturday went the wrong way. Had Celtic drew Aberdeen 0-0 on Friday night, and Rangers maybe would have played on the Saturday, would it have been different?
Yeah.
You just never know. It's a psychological thing, and it's certain things happen, and there's a lifeline there, but it's a very, very slim one.
As you say, the title race is still alive, and it's great for Scottish football that that is the case. Okay, final section of the show, Kev. It's been a brilliant podcast. Unusual one, right enough, an injury live on air to somebody sitting in a chair. Honestly, you need to see it to believe it. But anyway, Zinedine Zidane, he has returned to the Bernabeu, the man who led Real Madrid to 3 Champions Leagues on the trot. He quit in the summer, he stood down, but he's now back after Real Madrid have gone through 2 managers since he left them 9 months ago. Good move for Zidane, good move for Real Madrid.
Well, good move for Real Madrid ultimately, because winning 3 back-to-back Champions League is a feat in its own. So he's clearly went back there and somebody said to him, there's the checkbook, just write what you need and get us back to where we need to be, because they've had a shocker these last couple of weeks, Real Madrid. I think it's a good thing for Gareth Bale, because he's been kind of casted in the wilderness with fans and the manager that was in. So Zidane played him, and so hopefully they get back, because a healthy Real Madrid's a healthy Barcelona, and it's good competition, it's good viewing. So it's a good return, and hopefully, like I say, it might fall flat on its face, and they might not get them back to where they once were, but somebody will, and he's going to give it a shot.
And I take it as well, I'd imagine that Zidane getting back to Real Madrid, that's kills off of the shouts of possibly going to Chelsea and possibly going to Man United.
Tottenham's now happy because they know they're going to keep their manager for another season. So no, that kills off that. Sarri a sigh of relief. Obviously the Spurs fans were happy. So the manager merry-go-round's kind of put on stall now.
Right, on that, can you think of any good returns what people have gotten back to? I mean, I'm three off the top of my head, managerial ones. Walter Smith back to Rangers to succeed Paul Le Guin. Won three titles in a row, 2009, 2010, 2011. For our older listeners, Billy McNeil back to Celtic the centenary season, won the double in 87, 88. And down south, Jose Mourinho going back to Chelsea and won the title again with Chelsea. But closer to home, any that stick out for you as good ones, Kev, or ones that really fell flat?
Jeez, oh man, that question. I've been looking at it all day trying to rack my brains, but I'm not too sure. Jim Jeffries returned to Hearts, I think that was a good one. Uh-huh. Because although ultimately ended up getting the sack, that first season back from summer to Christmas, we were sitting in between Celtic and Rangers going for a title race. So for Hearts got a wee bit of optimism for that first kind of, so that was a good return.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think of any other ones, especially in Scottish football. McLeish came back to Scotland.
Yeah.
But then obviously time will tell.
That's right. Well, so far so good.
So far so good. So the good thing with the guarantee in the playoff spot is that although we want to finish first or second in the European, the group stages, the playoffs can maybe feel a wee bit more relaxed knowing that worst case scenario, we've still got a chance. So that could be deemed that could possibly in the future, and time will tell, be a good return.
Did you ever have a chance to, because correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you've had two spells at the one club, have you?
No.
Did you ever have a chance to go back to somewhere?
Hearts?
Yeah.
I went, obviously when I signed with Hearts, I got injured for 18 months and then I relieved myself of my contract, cut things short, and then when I got myself back fit, I then contacted Hearts. It was Gary Locke was in charge, obviously I know Gary very well, and he says, we'll get you up to train, but there was a bit of politics involved and it never ever occurred. So that would have been an unbelievable return. I would love to have went back to Hearts, even just to have played one more game.
Aye.
Because I don't know, obviously I scored a derby goal and that's put me in this kind of cult hero status, but I loved it there, man. It was just magic, you know what I mean? So I would love to have went back, even now when I go back and watch a game, it's still a good feeling, but I would love to have went back and maybe scored one more goal. That would have been that would have been fantastic. But Mikey Stewart, he returned to Hearts. I don't know if that was successful.
I don't know if he'd be welcome back now like you were. But listen, hey, one thing we will tell you, Kev, you'll always be welcome back at Open Goal. You can come to the podcast at any time.
Appreciate that.
We'll hopefully see you next week as well. We're going to wrap it up. I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been a brilliant 45 minutes. Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill and with Black Rooster. We've covered a number of topics. But if you've been listening, and I'm sure you have, we're now all heading to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital to go and see Simon Ferry, go and get him some physio treatment, get him ready for the Peterhead game at the weekend, and more importantly, get him back for the Open Goal Coop'em Show with Frank McAvaney and Derek Ferguson on Thursday. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll speak to you soon.